Again, happy Father's Day. Couldn't help but think, as Pastor Doug talked about, the importance of presence. That as dads, it's good for us, it's important for us to be present with our kids. But I couldn't help but think about the faithfulness of God to be present with us. He says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us. So that's a great truth to know about God. And so we praise God for His blessing of His presence in our lives. We look up to our earthly fathers. We honor and respect them. And of course, one of the matters of respect regarding fathers is their truthfulness. If they say they're going to do something, we can count on it. You know, Daddy told me. We appreciate that time and again, dads say, "Hey, I'm going to be at your game," and we look up and there he is. Thanks, Dad, and we hear testimony to that. You know, one of the things I appreciate about my dad is, man, he came to all my ball games or every ball game he could. And if he couldn't make it, we were disappointed. Or if he had to back out for one reason or another, we were disappointed. But when he was there, man, that's great. We loved it. Our culture, however, is hypocritical when it comes to the matter of truthfulness. We say that we value truthfulness and we value honesty. However, on the other hand, we don't always practice honesty and truthfulness. It's no big deal. A little white lies, those are acceptable. That's okay in our culture. Cheating on one's taxes is commonplace. Politicians are almost expected to say one thing and not follow through on their promises. That's kind of what politicians do. That's who they are, So the question becomes, what is truth? And that's a question of epistemology, the study of knowledge. Pilate posed this question to Jesus. You can look at John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. If you have YouVersion, it's looked up there for you. It's a good Bible app. But John 18, verses 37 and 38, this is when Jesus was standing before Pilate before he was crucified. And Pilate said to Jesus, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth." Why did Jesus come? To bear witness to the truth. "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Well, there are various opinions as to the basis of truth or source of truth. In my philosophy class, or my philosophy professor taught me that there were four basic foundations or philosophies of the foundation of truth. One is empiricism. That means truth is based upon one's experience. So what you have in the church is someone says, "Well, I spoke in tongues, so it's true, and I think every other Christian should speak in tongues." So truth is based upon my experience, as opposed to studying the Word and finding out what God's Word says about that and weighing your experience over against the Word of God. Empiricism. Rationalism is another one. Truth comes from one's thinking, the ability to rationalize and to think things through. If it makes sense to me and I can rationalize it, then it must be true. And so then we look at weather like we had this morning. All this rain, and tornadoes and the polar ice caps are melting. And so we have climate change. And what's going on there? Well, it's because man has been irresponsible and we have a problem, and because man, and it's really the arrogance of man, and it takes out the sovereignty and the sovereign work of God. But people can rationalize it, makes sense, so it must be true. Another source of truth is authority. Truth is based upon the authority of a person or a book. And since that person or the book is authoritative, then what it espouses must be true. But then you got to determine the extent of that person's authority. In other words, a doctor may know a lot about medicine, and think, oh man, that doctor is smart. But then you talk to them about theology. Just because they know a lot about medicine doesn't mean that they know about theology or about professional sports, for that matter. They're an authority in their particular area. The basis of truth. And then one final one is intuition. Truth is based upon feelings of rightness, which is a form of mysticism. So how can it be wrong if it feels so right? So you have sources of truth that people look to. And we live in a day and age when it's sometimes difficult to determine what is true or what's not true. Hey, if it's on the internet, it's true. I read it, right? Now, one year you hear that there's studies, and that just goes like this. Coffee's really bad for you, you know? You shouldn't drink coffee, or, you know, don't drink too much coffee because it's bad for you. And then, you know, you turn around and it's like, hey, man, drink all you want. We just found out we were wrong, and now it's the truth is it's good for you. So drink all you want. One politician says that there's a crisis at the border, and another says that the real crisis is climate change. Oh, hey, how many of you have a fitness tracker? You know, several of you have that? You know, I mean, they say that's really good for you, right? Because, you know, how many steps you get in a day and your heart rate and blood pressure or whatever, you know, it tells you all of these things about your health. That's really good to track that. Just this week I heard, nope, they're bad for you. If all of you that raise your hand, get rid of them. They're bad for you. Because it increases your anxiety. You know, you don't have your 10,000 steps in today, so get tracking, you know. So what do you believe? What do you believe? Well, in answer to Pilate's question, what is truth? Jesus said this, and you may be familiar with John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, I am the truth. We're going to look up a few other verses. Again, if you have YouVersion, you can look these up quickly because they're already looked up for you. But in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Here's a couple others. 2 Timothy 2:15. This is often called the Awana verse. All right, there's a kids program called Awana. Approved workmen are not ashamed. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. He's talking about the Bible. And if you handle the Bible correctly, as the truth, you don't have any reason to be ashamed. A couple pages back, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15. Paul, again writing to Timothy, says, I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. The church is built on the truth of the God, of the Word of God, and we uphold the truth of the Word of God. We come back to the Scriptures. And we must do that as a church. Here's one I'd like for you to look at. And it's Psalm 119. It's right in the middle of your Bible, all right? Turn to Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible. 176 verses, I believe. Psalm 119, you got to see this, verse 160. You know, people are out there looking for truth. Pilate, what is truth? If he just would have looked at Psalm 119, verse 160, he would have discovered what truth was. Truth was standing right before him. Psalm 119, 160 says, the sum of your word is truth. You take everything that God has to say, you pull it all together, and there you have the volume of truth. Wow. And he goes on to say, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. It's truth. And then we would be remiss if we neglected John 17:17 in the New Testament. Jesus, in his what we call high priestly prayer, in John 17:17 says, sanctify them. He's praying for you and he's praying for me. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So John is writing about truth. The word truth, and this isn't even talking about forms of the word truth is used 146 times in the Bible, depending on your version. 140 plus times the word truth is in the Bible. John, in his book, the book of John, uses the word truth 26 times. That's more than one per chapter. All right? John is all about truth. But these verses we just read help establish the fact that God is the source of truth and that he has recorded his truth in his word, the Bible. So people are looking and wondering, and people like Pilate are asking, what is truth? What should I believe about life and living life? And these verses here said, the sum of your word is truth. Here it is, folks. And I'm here to tell you that identifying your source of truth is essential to living a life that is meaningful and has purpose. Think about that. There are people out there, they're looking at the wrong source of truth and for the wrong source of truth, and they have purposeless lives. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to live. They don't know what they should be doing in life. And God says his word is truth. And if you don't identify your source of truth, you're going to live a purposeful life. But however, if you find and realize that God's word is a source of truth, the meaning for life is very clear and will give you direction for how to live, what to believe, and then how to live. Now, this Father's Day, we're studying 3 John. So turn to 3 John. All of that to bring us to this point here. We're continuing in our series that we've entitled Low Volume, High Impact. Small volumes of the Scripture, short books of the Bible that have a high impact in our lives. All right? Low volume, high impact. And we've taken a little break from 2 Thessalonians, because I thought, you know what, this is Father's Day, and this is a great, low-volume, high-impact book that helps dads, or helps us think of our dads. And so we're studying 3 John. 3 John is a book of walking in the truth. I like to boil down Bible themes so that you think about a book and we think, okay, here's what it's talking about. And 3 John is the book about walking in the truth. The word truth in this little book, you can hardly say that it's a chapter. There's only one chapter. It's a letter. It's just a real kind of a note. And the word truth is used 7 times in this book. 7 times. Again, John writing. He wrote it all those times, 27 times in the longer book of John. In this third book of John, here you have it 7 times. And the key verse is verse 4. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Isn't that awesome? John is writing to a church, and a leader in the church, his name was Gaius. And he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Think about that. Dads, isn't it a blessing when you know that your kids are faithful to the Lord? When you know, man, good on you, man. Good job. Or someone says something about your kid that's, you know, hey, they were obedient, or they did a good thing, or they gave their testimony, or
or they helped someone. You're like, that's great. And kids, you know, just think of the blessing that you are to your father when you are walking in the truth. So here's a take-home thought here today, and that is God desires that you walk in the truth. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to walk in the truth and the truth of His Word. And that being said, it's important to understand what it means to walk in the truth. What does it mean, walk in the truth? Well, walking in the truth is living out the truths of God's Word in practical ways. Walking in the truth is living out the truths of God's Word in practical ways. Now, truth is not merely to be known. All right, it's not just a matter of gaining knowledge. We said earlier that epistemology is a study of knowledge. All right, so it's a philosophical term, but truth goes beyond knowledge to how you live. Now think about this. That means that what you believe has an impact on your life. Or the question would be, do you really believe it? Do you really believe what you say you believe if you're not living it and putting it into practice, doing what God says in His Word? Something to ponder, something to think about here today. Truth is not merely to be known, it's to be lived. So once you know the truth, live it out. Put it into practice. So we're going to talk about some truths about truth this morning, all right? The first one is, walking in the truth is commended. Walking in the truth is commended. We see this in verses 1 through 4. The elder to the brother Gaius. The elder, speaking of John, he was an apostle, all right? And he's writing to beloved Gaius. He was a member of a church whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. It's easier to be godly when you feel good, right? You know, kind of what he's saying there. Doesn't mean that when you don't feel good, you don't be godly. He's just commending that. But then he says, for I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. He was saying, people are coming to me and saying, man, those people, they really live what they believe. And he was hearing about it. So he's rejoicing, he's commending them for the fact that it was evident that they were living out the truth of God's Word in their lives, through their lives. In verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dads, you know, doesn't that make you proud when you witness your child doing the right thing? Especially when it's unprompted. I've popped my buttons more than once over my kids when I hear someone come up and say, man, that was awesome, man. Your kid did this or did that. And when our kids were in high school, they had opportunity. They were invited by Mike and Alicia Nichols, some missionaries of FBC that we support over in South Korea. They were invited to go to an English-speaking camp in South Korea and help them. It was a missions trip. Just the two, our two kids went and helped others in that. And it's like, and my kids, they just got so excited about that, and they were looking forward to that. And then when they came back, they were just really pumped up about how they were able to serve the Lord in South Korea. Man, it's like, good. That's awesome. It's exciting. And I know many of you have had the same kinds of things happen with you and your kids. And kids, think again how it encourages your dad and your mom that you walk in the truth. The best bragging is about the faithfulness and godliness of your kids. So walking in the truth is what God desires and what He commands. And so God wants your life to be a life of integrity, honesty, a life defined by truth. And so, dads, parents, teach your children to walk in the truth. Teach your kids. Teach them what's right, what's not right, how to get right, how to stay right. And I think of, you say, how do I do that? Well, you don't have to have this long Bible study every night or even once a week for that matter. But a great time is whenever you have time with your kids, whether it's before supper, after supper, during supper, before they go to bed, first thing in the morning, find a time that you can spend some time with your kids talking about God. In each of our children's programs, we have GLOW, that's God's little ones. We have BLAST, Building Lives According to Scriptural Truth, that's our elementary age. And then we have IGNITE, that's the teen program. They all have a curriculum. In other words, they teach the Bible. Isn't that great to know? That we're aiding you in teaching the Bible. So what do you do with that? Here's one thing I would encourage. You know, you're driving home and you just say, hey, what did you guys learn in class today? You can do that today. First thing, what did you guys learn? Or what did you guys talk about? And so you just listen to what they say. And then you try to reinforce it. You ask questions about that and help them to develop that. Or maybe on Wednesday night, same kind of thing. Another suggestion might be, as you think about the message, and we have on your notes now, we have that little going deeper section. And use that, and you can develop that throughout the week according to the ages of your children. And again, just or just go through a book of the Bible. Start with one of the short books. Maybe go to the book of Philippians and say, hey, let's just read this and let's talk about it. What does it mean? How can we live it out in our lives? Now, you teach your kids. You also teach by example, right? When I was in Danville, we were doing had a church work day, and we were working all around the building and doing some things. And our senior pastor was working on the board, and he boom, he hit his thumb with a hammer. And one of the other guys goes, hey, I just learned what pastors say when they hit their thumb with a hammer. And everyone's like, whoa, what's that? Ouch! And so it's like, he taught us that you don't have to curse. You don't have to, you know, get all angry and snort and stomp when you get hurt like that. It was actually a teaching moment for all of us. Now, what do you do when you do say something you shouldn't say when you get hurt like that? Hey, you go to your kids and say, oh, man, that really hurt. But guys, that's no excuse for me saying what I did say. Will you please forgive me? I've had to do that with my kids. You know, just shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me. I need to ask God's forgiveness, you know. Not an example, but it is an opportunity for you to teach on how to live the truth or according to the truth. Well, we have, look at verses 5 through 8. And we have an example of someone, an example or evidence of walking in the truth in verses 5 through 8. So here's talking about how to live it out then. Beloved, it is a faithful thing that you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. What's going on here? Well, what they were having happen now were their... There were itinerant preachers, whether they were missionaries or whether they were evangelists or whether they were the apostles. John was talking about himself. They would come to the church and people in the church were like, hey, this is great. You know, we've got a spiritual leader coming to our church. So here's another truth about truth, and that is walking in the truth is truth in action. Now, let me explain that. Walking in the truth, we've kind of already started to develop that. But truth is to be carried out. It's to go from the cerebral to the practical. Not just here, but as you live it out. And an evidence of walking in the truth is caring for others. An evidence of walking in the truth is caring for others. And in this case, honoring those who were ministering faithfully. It's good practice for us to take good care of our missionaries, our guest speakers, those who are known for faithful ministries. Thank you. And the other pastors, elders here, thank you for your care for us. That's a way in which you are living out the truth. So again, look at these verses. It's a faithful thing, verse 5, that you do
in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church, you do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. They were coming in, they were visiting, we had a great fellowship. Okay, praise God, we're going to send you on well thought of and well taken care of. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, on behalf of the Lord Jesus, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. What was that? They weren't expecting the unsaved to support their work and ministry. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, verse 8, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. When we support missionaries and we're an encouragement to them and we support spiritual leaders and church leaders, you are participating in the ministry. You have a part in that. I think of Dan and Rachel as they're a part of the ministry here. And they were here last week. They're here again today. It's great to have them home from Ethiopia. But I trust that we are an encouragement to Dan and Rachel, not just in our fellowship, but in our financial support and encouragement to them. As we support them, we bless them, and we are a part of that ministry. We share in their ministry. So we take great interest in that. That's what he's talking about here. That's a way in which you live out the truth. It's just an example. So I would encourage you in this example, if you do have a missionary coming through, have them in your home. Or if they say, hey, we're going to have a fellowship, a meet and greet, hey, bring your kids and listen to what the missionaries have to say. Learn from them. Ask them good questions. That's how our kids happen to go on this trip to South Korea. We took Mike and Alicia Nichols out for lunch at Applebee's. And so we're sitting there, they're talking at the table there, and they looked at our kids and said, hey, if it would be okay with your parents, we'd love to have you guys come and serve at an English-speaking camp in South Korea. What do you guys think? Oh, man, my kids were like, really? You think could we do that? Dad, do you think we could do that? Absolutely. Man, that would be awesome. And our church, you know, blessed them by helping them be able to do that. And you know what? Mike and Alicia, still, that was years ago. My kids were still in high school. Mike and Alicia still have a close connection with our kids, and they always ask, hey, how are your kids doing? Again, it's a way, an example of living out the truth, learning to care for others, and specifically here, those who are in the ministry. Look at verse 9 and 10. John provides an example here of someone who isn't or didn't walk in the truth. Verse 9, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to welcome the brothers and puts them out of the church. Diotrephes was haughty, proud, divisive, a gossip, dictatorial, and evil. Verse 11, even right after this, says, beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Diotrephes was a troublemaker in the church. Ought not be. Would it be terrible to be known as a troublemaker in the church? And here this guy's name is in Scripture now. He's written about in the Word of God that he was a troublemaker. Don't want to be that guy, do you? He was divisive. He was a gossiper. He was not living in the truth. He wanted the attention, and he didn't even tolerate people who wanted to take care of their spiritual leaders, the elders and the apostles and missionaries that were coming through. He'd say, hey, you want to do that? You're out of the church. He'd just kick them out of the church as if he had some authority to do that. And he tried to put a stop to those who wouldn't give him that kind of attention. And so it's an example of divisiveness
And so regardless, this, again, that's just an example. It could be all, any one of a number of ways that someone could be divisive in the church. But regardless of the issue, divisiveness is not walking in truth. But here's another truth about truth, all right? And that is walking in the truth exalts good over evil. So we have a good example here. This is further evidence of walking in the truth, and that's contrasting good over against evil. Verse 11, "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God." So again, this is follows the example or the illustration, the poor example of Diotrephes. But John provides the example now of someone who is walking in the truth. Verse 12, Demetrius. This is the only time this guy's name is mentioned in the Bible, so far as I know. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. So here you have Demetrius held up as a good example of good, one who's walking in the truth over against this Diotrephes, who was evil and not walking in the truth. You see, imitating good indicates truth walking. Imitating good, doing that which is good, that which is right. I want to do the right thing. Is commendable, and it indicates that you're walking in the truth. So, living according to God's word is truth walking. Living according to God's word is truth walking. Diotrephes, an example of evil, focusing upon self. He wanted the limelight. Demetrius, a good example of one who imitates good, a desire to know God, to be a man of God's word, to living it out faithfully. And then we have, John goes on to say, verse 13, "I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face." He's looking forward to when he was going to be able to come through. I'm going to deal with this divisive situation, and we're going to have sweet fellowship. So, verse 15, "Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, every one of them." Have fellowship with the church and fellowship with God's people. So on this Father's Day, I thought it would be good to highlight a father who delighted in the faithful walk of his children. John writes and he says, "I am so blessed when I hear that my children are walking through." Again, whether it was his personal children, biological children, or whether it was the children, spiritual children of the church. What a blessing. And so Third John is a book of walking in truth. One more verse, Proverbs 10:1. Proverbs 10:1, "A wise son makes a glad father." Or as we would say, a wise son makes a dad glad. So let's live by the truth of God's word and thereby bring joy not only to our biological dads or maybe our stepdads or maybe our adopted dads, but we ought to honor them in that way. But how about bringing glory to our Heavenly Father as well? We do so by living according to the truth of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that we have here in your word. Your word is truth. And so I pray, Father, that we would live according to all that is written therein and be faithful to do so. Father, you have told us that Jesus told us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here today that does not know you, they would turn to the truth of our Lord Jesus in salvation. And that in finding truth in your word, that it would be lived out in our lives to bring glory to your name. with heads bowed and eyes closed. Just ponder these matters here today. Maybe you're searching. Maybe you are wondering, what is truth? Maybe you don't have direction. Maybe you need direction and encouragement and purpose in life. I hope you've heard that here today, that it is found in God and God alone through our Lord Jesus. And we want to help you with that. When Jeremy asks us to sing, I'll stand down front here. You're welcome to come down front, and I'll have someone take you aside and pray with you. Or after the service, I'd be willing to talk with you in the back of the worship center here. Maybe there are some who have questions, you just like to jot it down. If it's personal and private, you can put it on your connection card. Take that from the pew in front of you, or through YouVersion or our website. Or maybe you'd just like to put a note, just say, praise God for my kids, and everybody rejoice with you. Or maybe something more specific. Maybe there's a request for which we can be praying. Just jot that down, the connection card, and in a moment we're going to take an offering. And again, the offering is a way in which you can live out your faith to support the work of the ministry, the leadership, and even our missionaries. So that's an evidence of walking in the truth, as we learned today. Thank you, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.